You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am not joined, as always, by Harrison Fagan. He is spending, he extended his weekend holiday and decided to opt for one more day at the day spa. Can't say I blame him. Sometimes the Thanksgiving meals can kind of stick in places and you want to work all that loose before you get back to work. So you guys are stuck with me for this show. I promised everybody on the last show that I would take your questions via iTunes reviews. That's still our policy. So if you left a question with a five-star review, I am going to get to it. I literally went to the most recent reviews and dated it back to when I started asking for them for this show. And I'm just going to scroll all the way up and I'm going to answer all of them regardless of how long these take to answer. I did a little bit of research on some of them. Most of them are just going to be off the cuff and see where this conversation goes. Pardon my voice. I coughed my way through the Thanksgiving break. So fortunately, I was able to recover just a little bit, and we'll see if my voice makes it throughout this entire show. So without any further ado, let's get to these questions. As always, you can find the show on Megaphone/Panoply, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, Lakers Nation, and Lakers Outsiders. Like I said, the best way to make sure that your question gets answered is by leaving it with a five-star review on iTunes. Let's get to this first question. This is from Westview Kid. I have a friend who is a big Knicks fan, and he keeps trying to tell me how much of a better Frank is going to be than Lonzo. Can you guys break down some strengths and weaknesses and compare the players? Basically, Frank Ntilikina, I believe his name is how you pronounce it. The biggest thing that he has on Lonzo right now is that there were zero expectations for him. I believe I saw on Twitter a couple weeks ago, everybody was up in arms about how great this kid was going to be and how he exploded onto the scene and this and that the other. And I went to the box score only to find out that he scored 10 points that night. So when you don't have any expectations, it's a lot easier to exceed them. And with Lonzo, now again, people are going to want to blame LeVar for this, Magic for this. Lonzo himself, and the way he sometimes carries himself in college and the confidence that he can sometimes display on a court despite things not necessarily always going his way. But Lonzo had expectations through the roof when he got to the Lakers. And I think he and Frank are both going to be pretty good players. I don't see one as having a huge advantage over the other right now, so long as Lonzo continues to shoot the way he does. Honestly, the two players are very similar. They're better on defense than they are right now on offense. Lonzo has a little bit of an advantage over Frank because of the way he can share the ball. But for the most part, they're pretty similar right now. And so long as Lonzo continues to not shoot the ball, they're going to continue to be similar players. So I'm not going to give one the edge over the other. Fun comparison though between those two guys, and it's to me the more interesting thing is how expectations paint analysis of these guys. It's really too bad because it takes away from an honest discussion. Next question. This is from I Got Bamboozled. Is there a way to keep Randall? Hypothetical: Lakers trade KCP for PG this season, then sign Boogie. I'm guessing this is in the offseason. Can they re-sign both Paul George and Randall? man, they would have to move Clarkson. I'm just going to keep it as simple as possible. They would have to move Clarkson or Dang and or Dang. And if they want to keep Randall, they'll have to see what he's willing to take from the terms of a restricted free agent. Restricted free agency hasn't been going particularly well for these guys, and a lot of them are signing their qualifying offers to become unrestricted free agents the following year. Part of me actually thinks that that would be best for both Randall and the Lakers. The qualifying offer is not nearly as much as Randall could, in theory, demand in the offseason. The one issue with that route is that it's a very easy way for either or both sides to walk away from negotiations frustrated with the other person. We're seeing it with Nerlens Noel in Dallas, and we have seen it all over the league. And hopefully that changes, because, frankly, I wish restricted free agency would go away. But I would hope that that trend doesn't continue with Randall and the Lakers, and both sides can see the benefit of continuing their relationship on past this year. Because Randall deserves a ton of credit for the way he has picked up his play, especially defensively. I don't think the Lakers, if you were to inject true serum into Magic or Luke or Rob Pelinka, I don't think they would have ever predicted that Julius Randle would become the player that he has become this year. And it's a good and bad thing. It complicates things in a good way, basically. It makes it so the Lakers can't lose him for nothing, but it also makes it more difficult to figure out the wiggle room by which to sign either LeBron and or Paul George or Boogie Cousins or whoever you would like the Lakers to sign. So it kind of takes away one of the avenues by which the Lakers can open up enough room for multiple stars to land in LA. And look, this is how they've operated since Magic and Pelinka have shown up. Basically, they have said, this is the goal. This is the way we think is best for the Lakers to build moving forward. And they're pot committed, having already moved Russell. We're going to get to the next question here. This is a tough question for Anthony, and this is that's the title of the review is Tough Question for Anthony. Pick one. A, Timofey Mozgov re-signing and Tyler Ennis extension to create a duo to rival Kobe Shaq. B, Lakers and Dodgers never win another championship for the rest of your life. C, Lonzo recruits Harrison to join him in a spinoff of Ball in the Family that forces Marcelo Huertas to be the starting point guard for the Lakers. Or D, Nick Van Exel never recognizing you beating in a pickup game. Friend of the show, Justin. All right, so those are all awful options, and we're going to get to them in a second. So, if I had to pick one, I'm definitely not bringing Timofey Mozgov or Tyler Ennis to be the Kobe Shaq duo, because that would essentially ensure that B probably happens, right? So, I would like to see C take place and see how, if Harrison is able to get Lonzo to answer questions in more than 15 words, as he would have to do if that spinoff of Ball in the Family has any chance whatsoever of succeeding. And if that means Marcelo Huertas is the new starting point guard for the Lakers, then I'm fine with that sacrifice, because in my opinion, Marcelo Huertas is the greatest basketball player in the history of the sport. So I'm going with C, Lonzo recruits Harrison to join him in a spinoff of Ball in the Family. And honestly, it's mostly to get Harrison out of the day spa, because I'm not sure he works hard enough. Next question. What will happen first? This is from Bureau Time. Jason Kidd remixes What the Kid Did featuring Rhymes by Lonzo, or Anthony will explain what advertisers via Locked On Lakers are. I must have misspoken or mistyped. Obviously, advertisers are advertisers. So if you are confused by that, make sure you are hitting up LakersLockedOn@gmail.com for questions about advertising on the show. And I don't think Jason Kidd will be rapping anytime soon unless he gets fired by Milwaukee for not being able to connect with millennials, right? We saw Brian Shaw go that route in trying to connect with those youngins, those whippersnappers, and it didn't really work out for him. But hey, if Jason Kidd thinks he's a better rapper than Brian Shaw, then why not? And frankly, things couldn't be going much worse in their coaching staff with Milwaukee, as I believe it was Giannis Antetokounmpo challenged one of the assistant coaches to a fight, saying, quote, "I will F you up." So might want to start rapping there, Jason. Let's get to the next one. This is from Danny, Los Angeles. "Great way to start the Lakers without y'all every morning. I was already described, but if I wasn't, I would subscribe just on the off chance I might get to hear Witness Protection Harrison again." We'll have to bring him back. I want to find an actual use for that. So if you guys have any ideas about that, send them our way via that 5-star review. "Do you guys think the other Laker rookies are outperforming Lonzo because there is so much hype around him and the others feel less pressure to perform?" No, I mean, I think there might be something to that, and Lonzo is kind of in his own head. But look, Kyle Kuzma, the other rookie on this team, is, I believe, 2 or 3 years older than Lonzo Ball, and as such has had more time to develop and be more ready for an NBA game. Other Laker rookies on the team is, what, Alex Caruso, who we really haven't seen very much of, Thomas Bryant, who we literally have not seen any of in the regular season. If you're talking about other young players like Brandon Ingram, again, he's had a full year in the NBA to develop and be more ready for his second year than Lonzo was for his first. But I think it really gets back to the Lakers putting a lot of too much responsibility on Lonzo's shoulders on a play-by-play basis. The idea that all rebounds have to be outletted to Lonzo so that they could try to take advantage of his outlet or his hit-ahead passes. It makes some sense in theory, but I just don't think it makes much sense from a developing a rookie standpoint to go about it that way. If you want to go in the direction with your criticism of Magic hyping up Lonzo and Lonzo forcing things because he wants to live up to Magic's expectations, well then, sure. And we have some recent examples of that with the way Brandon Ingram started the season, right? It started the preseason. He's been really good since the regular season started. But Brandon Ingram struggled through the preseason because he wanted to live up to Magic's 15 to 20 point per game expectation and was forcing his way into doing that and doing it a very inefficient manner. And so I would probably say that I think there's something to this, but I think it mostly comes back to the different places these guys are in their own actual physical and mental maturation and readiness to be NBA players. I want to see Lonzo fill out a little bit. I want to see him get more used to NBA speed and recognize that he doesn't have to go full speed all the time to be successful going to the basket. We've seen that already with Julius Randle learning that and how much more effective he is in the open court because of it. We've already seen Brandon Ingram figure that out, that he doesn't need to sprint dribble all the time if he wants to get to his spots, and actually not sprint dribbling has made him more effective in trying to get to those spots. We need to see that from Lonzo as well. And it just takes time. I learned my lesson in damning Brandon Ingram to NBA ineptitude. I would hope that as I have learned my lesson in that respect, that others would learn it right now as it goes on with Lonzo Ball. But if that isn't the case, then it'll just take time for others to learn it. But just calling Lonzo a bust a month into his career, which hopefully extends beyond a decade, is probably not the smartest way to go about this. Next question here is subjected real fans, and this is Michael Listens 24/7. He makes the point that he loves the fact that Lonzo ain't too hot right now, because then it'd be too hard to pick out the fake fans from the real, and it makes it so the Kobe fans can die out and let the real era of Lonzo love begin. It gives us time to get into a new era. Laker fans are spoiled with instant gratifications when it came young, like when young Kobe got Shaq. We don't need Shaq or LeBron or anybody. Lonzo grow to be his own, so there's no conversation on who really won us future rings. All right, so that last point I disagree with adamantly. We're in an era of NBA basketball where it requires even the best superstars to have another superstar, or maybe even another one alongside that player, to have a chance at winning a title. I don't care how good you think Lonzo Ball might be, he's not going to be good enough to win titles by himself, because that player literally does not exist. Not even LeBron could do that. Michael could be dropped into the league right now, and he wouldn't have success. I mean, even while he played, he had Scottie Pippen and Dennis Rodman and Horace Grant and Tony Kukoc. Like, those were some legit Bulls teams, and you weren't going to beat, say, the Golden State Warriors, or even the direction that Philadelphia is going in or Boston is going in. You're not going to beat any of those teams, either in their current iteration or what they could be down the road with just one guy. Lonzo needs, whether it's Paul George showing up or LeBron showing up or Brandon Ingram developing or Kyle Kuzma continuing to develop or Julius Randle continuing to develop, Lonzo needs all the help he can possibly get, because this is, in my opinion, and I'm kind of biased, the best generation of basketball that we've really ever seen. We're going to get to the final few questions here. It looks like we have quite a few. So get a drink of water, and we'll be right back here in a second. All right, this is from Kuz Control. I like the pun. I am always here to credit a good pun. This is it's credited Goat Podcast, which I'll take it. Not bad. Here, leaving the well-deserved 5-star review. I love how you guys are comical and not just informative and boring like other podcasts. I truly enjoy listening to you and your sidekick Harrison. I'm not even going to add the JK part that he adds in there. Harrison is my sidekick. Haha, take that, Harrison. I've listened to every episode since before Summer League, and I've enjoyed every single one. Love all the guests as well. Keep up the incredible work and content you guys put. Also, by chance, can you guys tell me what episode Harrison's hot take of Brandon Ingram taking you old Kobe's old locker? I believe we answered that last time, but that was a few months ago, and I believe we linked it again on our Twitter feed, so we can find that. I believe we already answered that question. Harrison wanted to make sure, and he somehow, I believe, misread the sidekick Harrison part or omitted that completely, so I'll have to talk to him about that. Next one, we have Tubstub STU. This is the funniest Lakers podcast I listened to. Harrison's super deep voice should probably be in a new segment on the show. I agree, because it was hilarious. Should Kyle Kuzma sign with Big Baller Brand? Good for Kuzma, Big Baller Brand, both or neither? I don't think he should. And look, I'm going to be called an overanalyzer here, and that I'm thinking too deeply about something that doesn't require all that much thought. But look, we saw it with Fila and Grant Hill and how that derailed his career. Now, maybe his career gets derailed anyway because he had some kind of inherent issues with his feet. But I personally would prefer that all these players sign with the best brand of shoe that's best for them. We saw it with Steph Curry, even. In signing with Under Armour, they actually brought in doctors to watch how he walks and to study how his feet land and basically reteach him how to plant his feet so that he would stop spraining his ankles. And again, maybe it's coincidence, but he stopped having those issues with his ankles, and the rest has been history with the Warriors, because he was signed to a lower contract than they probably would have offered him if they knew that he was going to become what he wound up becoming. And but really, I Big Baller Brand kind of makes me nervous because there's just no way they are investing the type of technology that the Nikes, the Adidas, the Under Armours can invest into all these players' feet. And really, health starts in two places, in my opinion. And we can bring my wife on here. She'll know way more about this. But health, in terms of day-to-day feeling your best, starts either at your feet and or with your core. And it really starts at your feet, in my opinion, because that's your foundation. All of your weight lands on those feet. And if something is not quite right there with the shoes that you're utilizing, then that's a great way to ensure that you're going to have some lingering issues that you might not have to have. You're forcing yourself into a situation where you're risking something that you don't necessarily have to risk, maybe for a few extra bucks. Nothing but respect for Lonzo and LeVar and what they're attempting to do. And it's really interesting if they are able to succeed in making Big Baller Brand and getting them to compete with the Nikes and the Adidas and all those other companies in terms of the technology that they can put into their shoes. But as of right now, it's a risk that I don't think is worth taking. Next one, Lakers need a shooter. What would it take for the Lakers to get someone like Marco Bellinelli from the Hawks? Any other shooters the Lakers can go after that you guys can think of? So here's the thing with Marco Bellinelli. I'm going to look up his contract and see what the Lakers could be able to pull off there. But the thing with shooting in the NBA is everybody at this point recognizes how important it is, right? So chances are you aren't going to be able to just find a shooter. J.J. Redick signed a one-year, $20-plus million deal in Philadelphia just because they knew that his shooting would allow Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid a little bit more room on the court to operate. It's going to be hard to grab just some random Joe Blow off of the street, especially somebody who doesn't have money on the books for next year given what the Lakers' priorities are next offseason. Marco Bellinelli does fit that last requirement. He is an unrestricted free agent in the upcoming offseason. He has $6.5 million left on his deal. I'm sure if the Lakers really wanted to, they could probably send Corey Brewer over there and a second-round draft pick, a conditional second-round draft pick, to land Bellinelli if they're really desperate to do that kind of thing. I don't know about sending a Zubats or a tangible asset because it's not worth it, in my opinion, to invest in a few months of a shooter when the Lakers probably aren't going to make the podcast anyway this year. So for me, I think what the Lakers have to do is hope that Kentavious Caldwell-Pope shoots a little bit better. They have to hope that Lonzo shoots a little bit better. They have to hope that Brandon Ingram starts hitting from three a little bit more often and that Brook Lopez's shot doesn't have such insane variance in its success rate. The shooting is going to have to come from within this roster because there just aren't very many guys out there who fit all of what the Lakers are looking for. A good shooter, probably a young shooter, somebody who doesn't mess up the rotation and doesn't have any money owed to them heading into next year. So all of those things are really hard for the Lakers to identify across the league. And you know, sometimes these guys get bought out after the trade deadline and as teams ramp up and get ready for the playoffs. Sometimes players like that become available, but they usually sign with title contenders or a team that's looking for one more piece to either take that next step into the playoffs or take that next step into the next round of the playoffs. And the Lakers, look, it would be cool if they are still in the playoff conversation past the trade deadline and as the season nears its end. I just don't necessarily see it right now because of how tough the Western Conference is. Although, you know, Oklahoma City not being as good as people thought they were, and Utah not being as good as maybe they thought people thought they might be, and Memphis kind of struggling a little bit, and whatever you see what's going on with Marc Gasol, maybe the West doesn't shake out to be as tough as maybe we originally thought it might be, but you're still looking at an uphill battle, an uphill climb, that the Lakers, it's just not worth it for them to invest into one playoff run to risk any future assets in as they continue their rebuild. It doesn't make any sense for them to go after a piece that they may not necessarily need as badly as people might think. Let's see. Next one we have is subjected. I never know what to write here. No worries. You got the point across. This is a question I have for the Thanksgiving mailbag show. I'll keep it simple. In a perfect world, we dump Deng's contract, stretch it to the point where we have enough for two max contracts. We get Clarkson off the books, who he isn't a very big fan of, and are somehow able to re-sign Randall. Now LeBron James is not a stupid man. He won't come to the Lakers just because it's the Lakers. The man still wants to compete. So, one, is there any way the Lakers can sign Paul George and sign DeMarcus Cousins? And does LeBron does the KD thing and signs for 1 year for what is left over? Or two, LeBron signs a veterans minimum. Is it possible for him to sign a veterans minimum? I'm not contract savvy, and this is a huge question I wanted answered because I don't know who would be able to answer it. And then he lists some ideas that Pincus throws out there. So I got to start by saying this. I don't think LeBron is going to take any kind of discount. He is, I think he's second in charge of the players' union to Chris Paul. And it hurts the players' union if guys take pay cuts to stick together. Now, I know Kevin Durant is doing that kind of thing, and Klay Thompson has talked about doing that kind of thing, and Steph Curry has in the past taken less to keep their guys together. But that really only benefits the owner. So I don't really like expecting NBA players or any kind of professional athlete to take any kind of pay cut, because I think it really only benefits one person who isn't out there playing their butts off to compete. So I don't think that's going to necessarily happen with LeBron. Now, could you maybe convince LeBron to sign that one-year deal like you're talking about and maybe sign a longer-term deal at season or next season? Possibly you might be able to do that. But really, if you're talking about signing LeBron, George, and DeMarcus Cousins, Randall would have to either sign for significantly below market value. Deng has to be gone, and not just stretched, but gone, outright gone. You have to renounce KCP. You have to renounce Brook Lopez. You probably have to get rid of Jordan Clarkson's contract without taking anything back. It's just, it's a lot to ask for if you're hoping to land three marquee free agents this coming offseason. And then the other thing, too, is you have to hope that Paul George and LeBron and Boogie Cousins are all on the same page in what they're hoping to do if they do sign in Los Angeles. We're seeing it already in Oklahoma City where, yes, you got three big names in Russell Westbrook and Carmelo Anthony and Paul George, and you're seeing what happens when you don't consider fit. Now, I think DeMarcus Cousins and Paul George and LeBron fit pretty well, so long as LeBron is willing to play the four predominantly, and Paul George is willing to play the four when LeBron isn't on the court, and all of those guys are willing to sacrifice some of their own personal stats for actual offensive rhythm. But as of, there's a lot that needs to go right for that kind of situation to play out. And that's why it continues to be such a huge gamble that this is the basket that Magic and Pelinka have put all their eggs into. Next question. We got two more to go. Thanks for everybody for sticking this out. I'm enjoying answering your guys' questions. And like I said, the best way to get your questions read on the air here is to leave him with a 5-star iTunes review. Last two questions. So let's see. Okay, cool. I'll answer the. I'm going to go in reverse order here. Best Lakers podcast by Miles says Rigamaru. Rigamaru, I believe. Love listening, going to work. I was wondering, did Brandon Ingram ever work with Kobe this summer? I don't believe we ever found out about that. And if any kind of news development takes place with Kobe, it's covered. So if we don't know for a fact, there's a really good chance it never actually happened, or it didn't happen to the same extent that maybe either Ingram promised or was promised or Kobe promised or whatever. I really think Kobe wanted to step away from basketball on the whole. We see him flaunting his dad bod out there. He has his hands in all kinds of business ventures. And he worked maniacally for the majority of his adult life to this point. So if he wants to just take a break, take a breather from basketball, be with his family, look into other business ventures, and then come back, cool. That's perfectly on him to do. And frankly, I don't really know if Kobe is a guy I would want Ingram to learn all that much from. I think things in terms of work ethic and how to remain healthy and all of those things are the type of things that any player would. There are almost no players in the history of the game who you could learn from more in that respect. But in terms of Brandon Ingram and a player who is best tailored to work with Ingram and the things that he's trying to develop, I just don't know if that's necessarily Kobe. And if you have any ideas on who you think that could be, let us know and we'll give those guys a thought. Last question here. This is from John Azteca. Great team with their own unique opinions. Enjoy the growth and love their common folk who relate to Laker fans. One, which four shooters would you build a lineup surrounding Julius? Players must be non-All-Stars. Two, what's the origin story of the Fagwin combo? It's too bad Harrison isn't here so for when I could tell that. PS per basketball reference, Russell 30%, KCP 33%, JC 35.7%. Brolo 32.5%, Tank Commander is 37.3%. Those are those guys' 3-point stats. So, as shown there, those guys all could improve. All right, so I'm going to start with the four shooters I would build a lineup around Julius Randle with. They have to be non-All-Stars. So I would probably start at the point guard spot. If it's not an All-Star, I don't believe George Hill has ever made an All-Star team. I've just always liked George Hill's game. I think it's really easy to compliment guys with. I think he's taken a step back up there in Sacramento. I think I saw that kind of floating around the timeline on Twitter. But he seems the easiest to me to put players around him with. At the two spot, I don't think Klay Thompson has been an All-Star. So if he hasn't been, then I would put Klay Thompson as my two guard. I think here's my take. Here's an honest-to-God hot take. I think the only way the Warriors don't rip off something like six titles in a row is if Klay Thompson signs somewhere else when his contract is up. And Michael Thompson loves to point out that Klay would like to be a Laker or whatever. So that, to me, if the Lakers are somehow able to get LeBron and Paul George and remain financially flexible enough to have a shot at Klay Thompson, that's the best opportunity that the Lakers have at knocking off Golden State in the years to come. That would be my two guard. My small forward, I would probably put non-All-Stars. Non-All-Stars. I'm going to cheat a little bit. I'm going to backtrack. Klay Thompson's going to be my three guard. Damian Lillard is going to be my point guard. And George Hill is going to be kind of like my off-ball two guard. Damian Lillard, point guard. Two guard is George Hill. Klay Thompson, three guard. And then at the four spot, I am going to have... Man, this is a tough question, and I probably should have researched this a little ahead of time. The fourth shooter out, I'm going to go Kuzma. Why not? Let's have a little bit of fun here. Kuzma, so I would have George Hill, Damian Lillard, Klay Thompson, Kyle Kuzma, and Julius Randle as like my crazy short team that doesn't play almost any defense but just shoots lights out and lets Julius Randle get away with doing basically anything underneath. I think that'd be a fun team to watch. If you guys have a better lineup, and maybe if a better one comes to me over the next few days, I'll answer that a little bit better. All right, last but not least, you guys want the John Azteca would like to know the origin of the Feguin combo. So, long story short, he was working for Silver Screen and Roll. I was at Rant Sports at the time. And then there were a few other bloggers and Twitter people on Lakers Twitter who were all pro tanking a few years ago. I'm gonna guess 3 years ago that this all kind of started. And we were looking, we would interact on Twitter, but back then your ads counted and you only had the 140 characters, so you had enough room to maybe use like 4 or 5 words to get your point across. And eventually, we just got really frustrated with it. So we first started out by building kind of like a chat room that we would all kind of lob ideas at and talk crap about the Lakers on instead of Twitter. But that got kind of boring, and chat rooms are always kind of iffy. I believe we had some like randos in there who would kind of mess up the conversation. So that got kind of annoying, and then Google Hangouts had just kind of come, you know, had just been, I don't know about invented, but it became popular around that time. So I launched a Google Hangouts conference call, and we were all talking, and I realized, holy crap, we are live. I D'Angelo Russell, everybody. And I was the de facto host. It just kind of happened naturally. And back then we had Ryan Calipari. We had Ben Rosales would chime in every so often. We had Matt Vazin and Gary Kester and obviously Harrison and myself. And then we had kind of a group of guests who would appear on there every so often. The show, people really enjoyed the show, and that was surprising enough in and of itself. Basically Harrison and I became the only two who were on there consistently, and I was offered a job at Silver Screen and Roll to host the podcast and host a live show after games. And when I was asked to do that, I believe it was about a month or two in, I asked Harrison if he would like to co-host it with me. And so we had the show there at Silver Screen for a year or two. And then we were asked by David Locke if we would like to host Locked On Lakers. And here we are, a full season later of Locked On Lakers under the belt, and a 3 years somehow of working together. There is nobody in this industry, I give Harrison a ton of crap, but there is nobody in this industry I'm A, pulling for more, and B, would like to have this type of success with that we've been able to, the small successes that we've been able to have thus far. There's nobody I would rather have them with than Harrison. I consider him to be a little brother, even though he's taller than me, and I'm only a couple years older than he is. but I love the kid. I thoroughly enjoy recording the show. I am rambling at this point. Thank you, everybody, for listening and tuning in. Thanks for sending your questions. As always, the best way to get those read on the air is with that 5-star review and your question there in the review itself. I'm Anthony Irwin. You can find the show on Megaphone/Panoply, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, Lakers Nation, and Lakers Outsiders. Hope everybody had a great, safe, and successful Thanksgiving weekend. We're back at it again, 5 days this week. I'll be back with Harrison, I believe, tomorrow. Have a great one, everybody.